Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Well, Nancy, for me, the experience of our conversation has been very enlightening, and it helped me to, you know, reflect back on some of the things that I have gone through in my entrepreneurial journey. And you helping me process through it and really gets me excited and feel empowered for, you know, this next phase and this next step of what I'm excited to do with Glow Lighting. So I really appreciate your questions and your conversation to help me, you know, take what I've gone through in the past and use it as a strength to move forward.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guest is Matt Mueller. Matt is a small town farm kid who first got introduced to entrepreneurship and business through network marketing when he was a senior in engineering college. He immediately took the leap to become a solopreneur and has never looked back. His businesses in the inflatable carnival industry and indoor tanning industry have taken him to every corner of Minnesota and across the country. As a natural connector and freedom seeker, he is always looking for opportunities to use technology to build lifestyle businesses and work with great people. He started Glow Lighting to do just that, to bring unique new exterior architectural LED lighting systems back to his home state of Minnesota. The goal is to expand his brand by lighting up Minnesota residences and businesses and build a team to expand the opportunity beyond Minnesota's borders. You can use Glow Lighting outside your home to accent special features of your home or holiday lighting and security, game day lighting in your favorite sports team colors, and commercial lighting are also ways to add more light for recognizing a storefront or your house to let the neighbors know, you know, that you're supporting a particular team. So today's conversation is part one of two conversations with Matt to discover his journey from a network marketing business to owning Glow Lighting Minnesota. The gifts, challenges, recovery from betrayal, and starting a new life fully claiming his entrepreneurial self. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great, Nancy.
Yeah.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to your growing up in a small town.
Fantastic. Yeah, I feel sometimes that my journey is unique for someone in my generation, being 39 years old and a farm kid. That's a little bit of a unique story in some ways in today's world climate.
Yeah. What kind of farming did your parents do?
So my parents didn't actually farm. I just identify as a farm kid. My dad had five brothers that were dairy farmers. So we grew up around the dairy farmers, around animals and some cropland, but mostly animals, beef and dairy.
Oh, so what did your dad do for a living?
So my dad worked construction. He did like commercial ceiling tiles, so suspended ceilings in schools, hospitals, other commercial buildings. And my mom had a hair salon in my hometown, a small hair salon.
Okay. And how would you describe your parents?
I would say that they were very traditional, I felt like. Growing up in a big family, we were very family-oriented, and supposedly I'm 100% German, and I haven't fought that story that I'm told, so we'll find out one day maybe if we do Ancestry.com or something. But growing up in a traditional German family where we were all together, and I feel like I was definitely raised by my extended family, my dad being one of 13 and my mom being one of 10, and kind of both of them growing up on the farm and being raised in that traditional value system, our family was very close and very big.
Okay. I grew up in a very big German Catholic family.
Same. We were German Catholic, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what are some words that you would describe your dad to be?
I would say my dad is fun-loving, and he's very small town, and he would do very hardworking. That was definitely a pride thing for at least him and a lot of that generation, I think, and would do anything for anybody, and was very much a people pleaser and loved everybody in town and knew everybody in town. And he was the connector. And my mom was a little more of the entrepreneur. She was had her own hair salon, had worked in the corporate world for a few years and then started her own hair salon. And she never actually cut hair. She just owned the business. And she was a little more of the dreamer and the risk taker, and had done some real estate stuff with one of her brothers. So she was a little more of the go-getter and the dreamer on that side of things.
Okay. And what town did you grow up near? Or what town did you grow up in?
I grew up in Cold Spring, Minnesota, which is up near St. Cloud. So I went to Ricori High School.
Okay. And who else was growing up with you and your family?
So I had a sister that was 2 years younger than me. And then I have a ton of first cousins. I had 28 first cousins on my dad's side and 27 on my mom's side. And we all basically went to high school together. So I have four or five guy first cousins that are within a year or two of my age that I feel like I grew up with as my brothers. And I actually have a real brother who was 11 years younger than me. So I was 11 when he was born and 7 years old. He was seven when I went off to college. So he's my younger brother. He was an oops, but we love him anyways.
So. What's his name?
Mitchell.
Mitchell.
And both my brother and my sister are back in Cold Spring in my hometown.
Okay. And what's your sister's name?
Tracy.
Tracy. Okay. Well, very, very cool. Yeah. It sounds like you had a lot of support in your life.
Yes, I feel so. I always joke, people ask where I grew up and I say that I grew up in Pleasantville. So there was always family support and community support. And in our school, I was an athlete and that was very much supported. And it felt like in a small town that everybody knew everybody. And, you know, you didn't worry about getting in trouble at school. You worried about your parents finding out. And when you got home, you would get disciplined there. So it was, in my opinion, I always felt loved and it was a great place to grow up for sure.
Yeah. What were some of the other things that you loved about growing up in your home?
I like the freedom of what I call being a farm kid, being growing up out in the country and having the freedom to go adventure and to explore and to, especially as a young man, to have masculinity modeled in the home of hard work. And, you know, we were hunting and fishing family and you do a lot of things with your dad or with your family as far as work goes, as far as recreation goes, and just kind of having that modeled in the household. I realize as I move on and move out to the city that not everybody had that experience of so many parents being present and doing so many things together with them.
Did you feel like you have gotten to really know your parents as a result?
I would say, yeah, I felt for sure. I definitely was closer with my mom, I would say, as kind of a mommy's boy. She was a little more open in discussing all that stuff and being the business owner. That was intriguing to me. That was, you know, something that was out of the norm and, you know, a risk that was taken. But definitely learned the work habit and learned how to love people from my dad for sure.
Mm. And what were some of the interests that you took into adulthood from when you were younger?
I would say my connection to nature through the hunting and fishing and just being out in nature and my athletics, I guess. Sports was a big part of my life growing up. So being part of different teams, and it seemed like every single season I had a whole new group of friends that I went from football season to basketball season to baseball season. So whatever season I was in, those are my friends for that 3 to 4 month period of time. And having a big family, it was always around different people and felt like I had so many people in different phases of my life. And that kind of carried into college as well, of seeking out, you know, different people that were in my engineering program or in my volleyball team or the different interests that I had. I kind of seemed to, you know, transition from friend group or support group to based on, you know, whatever it was we were pursuing at the time.
Yeah. I haven't heard of so many cousins, like 55 cousins, and you're all in the same area?
Pretty much, yeah. I would say all but maybe a handful of us went to high school together and throughout. You know, I'm one of the oldest cousins on both sides, all the way down, ranging, you know, 25, 30 years, I guess, would be the span between the oldest and youngest cousin.
And what did you learn about taking financial and emotional risks as a child and young adult in your home?
I guess it didn't really seem too risky at the time. There was so much of a support system to, you know, do whatever. And I feel like it was, everything was pretty simple. There wasn't this huge desire or talk of desire. You know, I feel like it was a pretty simple and content life growing up in a small town, and, you know, people enjoy each other's company, and there's not this huge striving that you might get in a city culture. And there wasn't much disparity of income or lifestyle for the most part. So I feel like there was a foundation to do, you know, whatever we wanted to do within that little bubble that was very safe. But it wasn't necessarily, you know, encouraged or inspired to go out and take big risks per se in that phase of life.
So if that's the case then, which it sounds like it is, it was, what inspired you to take risks to move out of Cold Springs?
I think going off to college. So neither of my parents went to college, and I was good at math and science and, you know, did well in school. So I just assumed that was the thing to do, to go get a good job. And one of my best friends, his cousin was an engineer, and I was good at math and science. So I was like, well, I guess I'll go to engineering school.
Oh, and where was that at?
And that took me up to Fargo at NDSU.
Okay.
So I looked at St. John's. That was too close to home. I looked at the U of M. That was too big for me at the time of where my bubble was and what I came from. And NDSU seemed to be just far enough away from home that I could go create my own identity and get close enough to come back to the foundation that I have there.
Sure. And what was one of the most significant challenges that you experienced while growing up that kind of shaped who you are today?
I feel like I probably identify as I was always like the small kid. I was compared to all my cousins, I was like the runt of the family. So for me, that just meant that I had to work hard in sports to, you know, be good at anything. I had to outwork everybody, and I had to learn how to get along with my cousins and my friends. Otherwise, I was at risk of getting beat up. I was never the big dog in the fight, that's for sure.
Okay, so that helped you become probably a good negotiator.
Yeah, I feel like it. Yeah, and a little bit of a people pleaser. So I learned how to. I couldn't force my way around. I had to try and negotiate my way around things.
That works well in business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did your family of origin handle setbacks or like this particular challenge? Did you talk with your parents about it, or did you just figure it out on your own?
It wasn't really anything that definitely nothing that we talked about. I feel like in that culture, I call it the German culture, it was not very emotionally open. So it wasn't really much that we talked about. It was just kind of things that we figured out on our own. And, you know, it wasn't even anything that I guess, quote unquote, had to work through or even could communicate. Just looking back, that was just part of, I guess, the things that I felt through myself and had to deal with on a daily basis and navigate through. And it was not a very open, I don't know, conversation, I would say, in my home about any kind of thing like that.
Are your parents still living in Cold Spring?
They are, yeah. They're still up there. Hmm. So my mom just retired this year. My dad just retired this year as well.
Okay.
So yeah, they winter down in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, and have been for about a decade, part-time wintering. And so now they'll probably full-time winter down there.
Okay. And it wasn't until later in your life that you experienced kind of a big traumatic event. Did you want to describe a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, sure. So I guess my lead into entrepreneurship came while I was going to engineering school. And that was a huge shift in my life. I was just going to college because that seemed like the thing to do. It seemed like culturally that was the next step for somebody to get ahead in life or to get out of that small town lifestyle. And as I was in engineering school, I was interning at a big corporation, and a friend of mine from college had got introduced to somebody who was doing some projects on the internet. And he basically gave me an open invite. He said, hey, I met this guy. They're doing some projects on the internet. Are you looking to make some extra money? I'm like, well, of course. I'm a college kid. I'm broke. I'm always looking to make some extra money.
Yeah.
So I met a guy named Dave, who I'd never met before in my life. And I sat down on his kitchen table on a Monday night. It was August 2nd, 2004. And he basically had described to me a business model. This was like early internet, right? So we kind of all knew what the power of the internet was. Nobody really knew how to take advantage of it. It was the new frontier back in 2004. And he had described to me a business model that he had been exposed to 4 or 5 years ago that he had been taking advantage of and been making, you know, six figures part-time on top of being a teacher and a coach, and had talked to me about a mentorship organization and somebody being there to help you and helping me build my own business. And that was my first exposure to what I now know and we know as network marketing. So,
and which network marketing company was that?
And so I got exposed to Worldwide Dream Builders and Amway. So within our model, it's a little bit unique where the support system is separate from the opportunity and the supplier. So Worldwide Dream Builders and Amway is what I got connected to.
So are they two separate companies?
They are, yeah. Worldwide Dream Builders is the personal development and training system, and Amway is the business opportunity and the supplier. So okay. The way we positioned it through our model was, hey, we're Worldwide Dream Builders. We'll help you to build a systems-based business, and we use Amway as our supplier to supply people with products and make the economics work.
I see. And one way network marketing works is that you have an upline, right? Someone who's above you, who kind of trains you and mentors you. And then you start developing and working with other entrepreneurial types who don't want to take the risk with all their finances and do all the marketing themselves. And so you start training other people in below you, and then you get a commission of whatever they sell.
Correct. Yeah. And I had, people sometimes pose the question, oh, how did you decide on, you know, whatever network marketing company? And it kind of makes me laugh. I'm like, well, nobody really chooses their first network marketing company, in my opinion. It kind of just finds you and opens up your eyes to this industry that you know nothing about. So for the most part, people aren't choosing to go into this business based on X, Y, or Z versus other company. It's who you get connected to and whatever it is they're a part of for the most part. It's been my experience at least.
Yeah, I was introduced to network marketing in the 80s through Mary Kay Cosmetics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm very familiar.
Yeah. Okay. So one of my sisters became a downline seller. Mary Kay was the most phenomenal person ever. I mean, I just really always have admired her and her ability to help so many women be able to develop ways to, you know, make money. So anyway, back to you. So you were doing an internship at that time. You ran into this guy named Dave. Did you want to use his last name or?
Yeah, Dave Drogermiller. He's a teacher and a coach in Wayzata.
Okay.
So, and me being an athlete, it was kind of just, you know, always going from coach to coach and being a doer and looking to be mentored and led. It was a natural transition for me to plug into a systems-based business that already had the roadmap laid out. And as a doer, I just had to step in and basically, you know, be coached and do what they told me. I didn't have to reinvent the wheel, which very much resonated with my personality type and my skill set as a connector.
Yeah. And did you leave NDSU then at this time, or did you finish out your degree and then jump in full time?
So that was a very fragile topic at the time. So I actually was going into my fourth year of engineering college, and we had a 4.5 year program. And then I was going to do a study abroad. So I was going to finish in 5 years. And when I saw the business opportunity, I literally, within that day, got a dream for my life, basically, to never have a real job. And so I went to my advisor and said, hey, if you can get me out of here in this next year, I'll come back to college. And if not, I'm dropping out. And so they basically allowed me to take 38 credits my fourth year, my senior year. So I did go back up to NDSU for that year to finish. I was the president of the engineering club, the captain of the volleyball team. I ran the intramural sports program, took 38 credits, and started building my business all at the same time.
Wow. You're really motivated. So you walked out of there
was
with
at the time. Yeah, looking back, I don't, the capacity that one has in certain phases is pretty amazing.
Yeah, right. And the focus. So you got a BA degree in engineering?
I did, yeah. It's somewhere I can sell it to anybody who's interested in buying it for sure.
Well, yeah. Okay. And so what happened, kind of continue with the story. What happened then?
So within different network marketing organizations, there's a big traditional leadership, especially the model I was a part of. The people that I got connected to, fortunately, had created great success for decades. So my direct upline had been in the business for 5 years, but the people that they had been working with had been financially independent since the 80s through the model. And so I actually, my upline, they had a nanny who had watched their kids. And I was young and single and got inspired by the opportunity to build a business with your spouse, being a very family-oriented person. That very much resonated with my spirit and the wealth and the freedom and building something with the people you want to do it with. And so they were had a their nanny was a daughter of their upline mentor, who I knew of them because they were in my upline as well. And so they're like, hey, you should meet Stacy. She's got a great spirit. So I ended up getting connected with Stacy. We ended up getting married. And because of the way the integration model works from a financial perspective, it made more sense for us to do business with her parents directly to carry on that family legacy. And there was much more incentive financially to do that from a legacy perspective. And so I actually walked away from my mentor and my team to go basically do business with her and her family.
So they became your upline?
So they were already in my upline. They became my direct, sponsor, basically. So we were working with them directly. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And then what came next?
So basically, in those kinds of organizations, I think in very similar to different church leadership organizations, they're very close-knit in their belief system and in the values that you promote and the people that you bring around. So it was a little hard transition for me to leave and transition from a inspired leader that I had through Dave to a quote-unquote positional leader who I had through her father, who was a great guy, still building the organization and growing it. I just didn't connect to him in the same way as I had to my original mentor and leader. And so we were going down the path of, I had a couple of the businesses that I was building at the time. And 6 years into our relationship, she basically decided that she didn't want to be married anymore. And that's really kind of the first, I guess, traumatic thing that I had experienced in my whole entire life from looking back of growing up in Pleasantville, as I call it, and making good decisions. I really couldn't relate to trauma and pain that a lot of people had maybe shared or talked about. I really honestly couldn't connect. And, you know, when that kind of bomb came and she basically decided she didn't want to be married anymore, all of my attachment to my career that was going to be forever, a relationship that was going to be forever, and all the permanence of these things really got disrupted. And, you know, I really had to figure out for the first time, okay, outside of these two huge visions and huge dreams that I had for the really rest of my life, when that blows up, you know, where do you turn and what's next?
Yeah, a huge rug kind of pulled out from underneath you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very intense emotional time for sure.
And so as your marriage kind of fell apart and you had to like reimagine your next part of your life, what happened to you? How did you deal with it?
Thankfully, I had a ton of great people in my life that very much knew me and my journey through that business, through that relationship that I could, you know, hold on to. I had a couple other businesses that were outside of the network marketing business. And, you know, I really, over time, had to delever my attachment, my connection to, you know, the people and the permanence of, you know, an organization when you're on stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people and they know you as this and be able to, you know, give yourself permission to walk away to something that you have promoted to be, you know, a forever thing of, hey, we're going to be here for you, you know, to the end, and give yourself permission to make decisions, to pivot, I guess, and to let go of those attachments and to take a risk to move towards an empty space of unknown of what it's going to be, mostly relationally, I guess, from people that you've committed your life to, quote unquote.
Yeah, and disentangling yourself from all those relationships. I mean, it must have been very painful.
Yes, it definitely was. I had some mentors that had been going through a similar shift away from that, that I could cling on to, that was very much helpful to me, as far as them being the example of a safe path of, hey, you know, there is light down this road. It looks scary and unknown right now, but they were an example that I could follow of, you know, being able to untangle over time, over years, and to create a new vision, or even to go into a space where there wasn't a clear vision, but just knowing that I have to, you know, cut off entanglements over here to be able to create new space for something to come into my life.
Yeah. How long of a process was it from when you and Stacy got a divorce and disentangling from, was it both Amway and Worldwide Dream Builders that you...
Yeah, it's a unified organ. It's in a unified system. Both are part of the same thing. To disentangle from Amway, that's a financial legal thing. To disentangle from Worldwide Group, that's a relational thing with all of the people in the organization. So I actually stayed in business with her parents for a few years after she had walked away from the relationship. And, you know, my team, I still had a team of people that I was mentoring and working with. And over time, I just had to, you know, make the decision to walk away from that and let them heal as a family. They still saw me as their son, and I was still supposed to take over the family legacy. And without her in the picture, like, the reasons why I was doing what I was doing with who I was doing it were no longer real. And so I just had to, you know, move forward from that and make a shift. So that was about a 4-year time period.
Kind of
still in that system, but not quite as attached, and trying to work my way out of it and figure out, okay, what's next. And geographically, I was in Maple Grove and Minneapolis market, and my tanning business had been taking me all over the country, and I would travel a lot in the winter just to escape the cold. And I had been going down to Arizona part-time in the winter, and then I just been kind of felt pulled to go down there. I always joke around that the Sedona vortexes were sucking me in. But so kind of joking, but maybe true. I don't know.
Yeah.
The sunshine is a very appealing thing to me.
Yeah.
So I ended up making the geographical shift, which then made it a lot easier to finally kind of get some closure and some space from all those relationships. And I had walked away from the business model from any kind of financial career perspective or attachment to that. And that was over probably a 4 to 5 year time period.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good place for us to finish our conversation today of the first part of your life into kind of network marketing, finishing your education, kind of growing up in the family that you did, and kind of understanding who you are as a man. And you built out this huge dream with Stacy and her family, and took like risks along the way to make that happen. And that kind of all imploded. And now you're in the process at that time of kind of rebuilding. And that would be a good place to start our next conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a phenomenal chapter that is pretty much over, and I'm excited about the new one. And have a lot of great lessons learned from it and memories to cherish.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll look forward to our next conversation.
Awesome. Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in and listening to Matt as he describes his journey moving into the network marketing arena, and then how he was carving out a lifestyle there and transitioning out. And thanks, Mike Cabeas, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère de notre mère, brother from another mother. And we'll see you all next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? You can. We know that dual innovation with mentoring works. We've mentored thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and small business owners in this dual innovation process since 1992. We are here to co-create a mentoring process where you can nourish resilient relationships while you redesign your business. Resilient relationships promote relational literacy, the ability to understand and express healthy ways of relating. Even a slight increase in relational literacy can lead to significant improvement in all of your relationships. So why not take the risk to move out of dysfunctional relating and move into ways to deepen your connection to yourself and others? Assert self-leadership. If you aren't already subscribed to this podcast, go do it now. Go to wementor.com and get the support and skills needed to build a purposeful life journey with your peers on the entrepreneurial leadership path, consciously co-creating our future. You can also join our virtual mentoring community for one-on-one strategic mentoring or participate in a WeMentor lab, because we mentor meaningful conversations and activities that lead to higher levels of functionality and engagement in our world and everything that we do with each other. So engage your curiosity and become the leader you envision yourself to be today. WeMentor.com. Go there. Check it out.